Welcome to our Tribe vlog and also our guest listeners from the Backlog podcast. The Backlog podcast is our sister company, Adaptivate's own podcast channel. You can listen to wherever you get your pods from. Today's guest is Doug Ross, co-founder and director at Adaptivate. Doug is an entrepreneur at heart, having founded a number of businesses across the technology and consulting landscape, Doug, and having serviced and worked in a number of industries, financial services, media, government, telecommunications, you name it, all around the world. Doug is, of course, my mentor, my boss, and a friend, and a big guidance for me here at Tribe. Welcome, Doug, to the Tribe vlog.
Thanks, Sean. It's great to be here, mate. It's a fantastic initiative you've got going here, so I'd love to be able to spend the time and talk to you. Fantastic.
Really, really looking forward to the chat, Doug. I think we're going to have quite a good time this afternoon.
We'll see how
we go. Yes, we'll see how we go. We'll see how we go, indeed. So needless to say, Doug, it has been such a challenging time for all of us this year in 2020. Can you please share with us how have Adaptivate gone to weather the uncertainty? What has indeed been the key for Adaptivate in your eyes?
So it's interesting. So to give you the sort of the dynamics of how much COVID hit us, we had our biggest ever revenue and profitability number in March of 2020 ever. By far the biggest. Mm. Went from there to some of our worst revenue and profit numbers ever in May and June, April being somewhere in between. And now in August and September and October, we now have come out of that to a point where we're not quite at March, but we're pretty close. We're getting close to where we were in March. So it's been exciting for us. It's been quite a roller coaster. And I suppose there's probably two or three main things that have sort of, I think made the difference. The first one was calling it and being transparent about it. So as soon as it happened, in the middle of March, we started to getting the executive team together to talk about some of the scenarios that we were sort of out there, what we could think, what we could believe. And straight away, we involved the executive team. And then starting in April, we went straight into the first part of our plan, which was really looking at how we were going to keep cash flow going. So when we knew that contracts were sort of going out the door, being turned off pretty quickly, yeah, trying to work out how we were going to manage that. Yeah. And we described that not with with the executive team, but we also described that to the whole business. And we said, this is what's happened to our revenue. This is what's happened to what we need to do to get back to a point where we can actually start driving forward. So the first one was really clear transparency. The second thing I think that was quite good was once everybody had that clear purpose about what we needed to change to get back on track, it gave people a choice as to whether they were going to be part of it or whether they weren't. And to be clear, there was a few people that sort of weren't really up for it and found other jobs at other places. And that's just part of sort of doing business. You know, people need to decide whether they're as part of this or whether they don't, you know, thanks very much, but I really want to find something else, something maybe a bit different to what Adaptivate offers. But the people that sort of wanted to stay really got into it. So we really turned then the problem on ourselves, so in our business model on ourselves, and said, well, how are we going to adapt and innovate? And we came up with a bunch of new products of which, you know, you, Sean, were a big part of some of them, where we've come out with sort of the learning management system. We really built out the community because we thought that's going to be more and more important. We thought it was going to be important, but even more important to our business model. We built out different products. We talked to customers about, you know, what do they think's coming. We built all the really early, like earlier than most companies, we had information about how to get remote working, right? And a lot of our customers really appreciated that. And it started new conversations around how we could help with them. So that was the second bit, really turning our business on ourselves. You know, startups or scale-ups might call it eating our own dog food, but it worked and it was really cool. And then the last part of that, I suppose, was everybody in it was the last part. You know, the transparency, the direct, the connectivity on the purpose. We then, everybody dropped, like, so we did, you know, drop the cost and our wages and how much time we were actually spending. And, you know, we brought that back on again in the last couple of months. But during that period, it was everybody in, right? You know, if you want to stay with us and you want to try and help, then everybody's taking the same hit. And so from that perspective, it was a very, dare I say, sort of one in, all in sort of musketeers sort of idea, if that made sense, that we're all in this together. Yeah. We're all going to pull it out together. And we were very clear on the goals, as I said, about what we needed to get back out. And everybody really pulled together, and you know, with a bit of luck as well, we're not out of it yet. Nobody's out of COVID yet, but we're certainly in a good spot. So,
Doug, so interesting. Look, did you have moments during that where you think, how are we going to, you know, keep the transparency going? And during the choice phase of what we were going through, Doug, did you have moments of doubts?
Look, I had doubts as to whether everybody would stay with the company. I didn't really have a lot of doubts about the business plan. You know, yes. Adaptivate is built for exactly what's going on. It's built for disruption, right? It's built, yes, for helping businesses large and small be able to take on market disruption and take on digital disruption and take on, we didn't necessarily know it would be like this, but pandemic disruption, because you need to adapt, yes, the business model, and you need to innovate to actually deliver towards it. You know, the company needs to innovate to be able to deliver those products to those changes in the marketplace as well. And that's what our business does. Yes. So the logical answer about, you know, do I have doubts? Well, I didn't really have doubts about the business model. And that was one of our early questions, right? Like, is this business the right business for where we're heading? And we sort of doubled down on that. And we said, well, yeah, it was 3 years ago and even more so now, right? And I think that's proven. So that wasn't the question is whether we could survive to a point where businesses would start to realize that, because we're still only a small company. We don't have a big brand globally. And so how do people know that they should use us? And that was also part of our social media things and a whole bunch of things we applied to ourselves. But still, you know, it was about whether or not the people in the business would be able to keep with us and believe in that goal. And as I said, you know, I don't know the exact numbers, but at least 90% of the business decided they would. And so from that, yeah, perspective, it was great.
Yeah, we were literally, Doug, practicing what we preached in the marketplace during this time. Mm. On that note, here's my second question. What do you think is the outlook of the practice of agility? Now that we've gone through COVID, something like COVID, what is the outlook for the practice of agility?
So I love the fact that you're using the word agility rather than agile, because I think that's becoming more important to everybody. Agile's, you know, a great set of techniques and strategies to get the human capital side of things going and really get human, yes, beings to work better together and work at a better cadence and deliver better outcomes. But there's a whole other part of that around agility and what we like to call business agility that takes on a lot of those concepts that can be done at a team size to, you know, scaling it to leadership, to executive teams, to how the business actually runs. And then you're starting to get Activate is really trying to do. But there's also, and that's sort of the human capital coaching side, shall we say.
Yes.
But in business agility, when you're talking business agility, there's quite a large consulting component. And I think that's the bit that makes it so much more relevant, which is where business agility is sort of the words that you know, you've used agility, the words that we use often with our clients is business agility. And that brings both a consulting, helping you with strategy, helping you with strategy execution, helping you think through objectives and key results and all those items that's actually going to make a real difference to directionally where the business should go and getting a group aligned on that direction, an executive team and a leadership group aligned on that, with, yes, the human capital, you know, coaching style business agility, which is very much about, you know, the mindset change, the cultural change, developing new habits that develop new behaviors, that develop new culture or mindset in an organization as a group. And that the, yes, combination of the two is what our business is all about. And that, yes, is more and more relevant the more we start to get to the market and people start to see what we do.
Yes. Do you think the marketplace is only just starting to just scratch the surface when it comes to business agility?
Yeah, look, I think so in a couple of ways. One is that scale part. So we see pockets of agility happening, not often in business teams, mostly in technology teams. And so the first one is sort of getting it into business teams, which is where we sort of really started our theories and our thesis in this, in getting our business going. How do we take some of the really good concepts that work in technology and drive them and change them into coaching in business teams? And now more and more, we're extending that into how do we also help the consulting side of it and bring that in. The other part that I think is quite interesting and how we talk about consulting and coaching come together is that quite often you're in a situation with clients that sometimes want a little bit of a push, but not a complete push. So they don't want to be outsourced. They don't want you to come in and give them the whole answer. But at some points they want a little bit of a push because they're tired or they're change weary or whatever it is. And they say, look, can you really help us and push us along? Give us some consulting help to push this along while we're maintaining and keeping things going with coaching. And look, to be perfectly frank, we spend a lot of time helping our people build capabilities in both sides of our house. Very few people, I believe at the moment, can switch between consulting and coaching and be able to provide what they need at different points. And so I think that's the development that our clients are starting to understand or want more and more from us, and part of our core differentiation in the marketplace as well. So a lot happening there.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, I can see that as well in the industry, Doug, where, there's almost two worlds at the moment, isn't there? There's your top line strategy that's changing the fundamental operating model. And then you've got the arms and legs that's been doing it for years, starting in technology, but it's the bridge between these two that many corporations are trying to achieve. And that's the gap that we're trying to fill.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's the gap that we perceive in the marketplace. And hopefully it's for a while and it's growing like we think it is. So we shall see.
Yeah, fantastic, Doug. We're all having a good time in the process, mate. So look, then the next question for us is about Tribe, right? So it was such an interesting timing, wasn't it, Doug, to have started Tribe in January with a pandemic around the corner. And it has been a shared, it's sometimes tough, but a really great journey with you on this business. Can you share with the audience what is your vision for Tribe? And if there are any key messages that you would like to share to the Tribe community?
Sure. So first of all, I think Tribe is a key part of our business strategy, right? And it's not just in terms of us growing our business around that, but even more so what our clients need. And we saw this over and over again over the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. One of our early clients was a large bank in Australia, where we helped them a lot with, setting up everything that they needed to actually make the change internally. Mm-hmm. But then over time, they got to a point where they wanted to both hire internal people and then do more of a sort of a contractor labor hire style model. And we had no answers for them, really, in terms of providing any sort of assurity around the quality of the resources they were getting, whether or not they were interested even in, a business agility style perspective. And from our first client onwards, we've seen it over and over again where companies really value what we can bring, but we bring it in a very much a sort of a step change piece that we're bringing to it from an Adaptivate perspective. And so that step change is what they want, and they want us to do it quickly and with them and work all that sort of baseline consulting and coaching going on. But then after that, they want it to continue and they want it to sustain going forward. And that's when we really started to realize that, hey, we can turn around and say, hey, just go ahead and find people in the market. But it's frankly, from our perspective, it's a bit of it's a difficult game to be playing when you're just going to the market and finding people. A little bit like finding project managers or any sort of like labor hire. And over time, as you know, Sean, what we're trying to do is create a community of people that are not only interested in what we do from, finding a contracting job, but interested in learning what we do so that When we recommend particular people to, you know, maintain these jobs over time and start these sort of 1 to 2 or 6 months to 1 year to 2 years sort of journeys going forward after we've started a change, we're then in this situation where we can, you know, actually turn around and say, hey, yeah, these people understand what we've done. They've done some training that we've provided them, maybe even certification if we want to get down that trail or we think it makes sense or people value it, our community values. But then getting into a stage where we can start providing that with a little bit more assurance that these people are going to be interested in sort of what's been provided for the client by Adaptivate and what the client is actually trying to do rather than just, shall I say, the bog standard or the stock standard, you know, ways of working.
Absolutely. Any key messages for the Tribe community members?
Yeah, look, I think so. The first one is we actually started a community because we want to find people that want to work with like-minded souls to be able to find out and really understand how to change this world that's coming. So the first one is, you know, are you in for helping us change the world in terms of the business world for both big and small companies in terms of business agility, not just agility, if that makes sense?
Yes.
The second one was, what can we provide? So the second key message is what do you actually want, right? Because we're very happy if we're building this right community, which is sort of the vision we've got, we're very happy to sort of spend money on it and help you around what you need from us to be able to feel more comfortable about potentially jumping on some of the jobs we're doing when it's a little bit different to sort of the standard technology consulting piece. So what do you need? And then the third part is, you know, where do you need it? So is it online? Is it in person? Like, hopefully one day this COVID stuff will change. Do we need to be providing these sort of things, you know, in more of a personal setting, you know, a brown bag sort of meeting, something that's good, you know, is video okay? Is training the right thing? Are these videos useful? Getting any sort of test and learn feedback is sort of the last part. So those three messages is what I'd be liking. We don't really know whether this community is going to be successful or good or not. And we're very much working a test and learn sort of mindset. So any feedback you can give us that makes sense, we really want to know so we can make it better.
Yeah, that partnership, that collaboration, Doug, I think it's really appreciated with the community. Just as a form of, I guess, feedback to you and I. You know, it's been, 6, 7, 8 months now since we've been running Tribe, and the community is growing each time. And that comes from the positive feedback of they can see that we're trying to make a difference and they can feel it the minute they interview with us, right? Right through all the way through to the selection process and talking to clients. So I guess if we continue with that collaboration between us and the community, as we clearly have the appetite to and willing to change and grow with them, I think it's going to be a great 2021, a much better, hopefully, 2021 than the 2020 pandemic sort of year. But I think the future is bright for Tribe, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, look, absolutely. I think on a multitude of cases, I know it's hard at the moment finding contracts. And I know, you know, we're trying to find them for people at the moment, and it's pretty difficult, as everybody knows. The bit that I think that everybody, or certainly, how about I don't say everybody, I said personally. So I was a contractor for about 5 years. I had my own businesses. I contracted out my own businesses and I contracted out of other ones as well. And I think one of the parts that people certainly getting into contracting don't understand, and they start to feel it over time, is that lack of connectivity with a group. Yes. And part of what trying to set up a community of these getting, as I said, a whole bunch of like-minded souls so that they can help each other as well. And sometimes that might be, you know, in a particular area, a particular thing that you're really interested in that you'd like to share, or find people that are also interested as well. And that sort of piece is a big part of what we're also trying to create with this community, not just a place where you can find your next job, but also a place where you can, you know, share ideas and thoughts with others that are sort of in a similar place and similar interest to you, and potentially learn off others. And then lastly, and this is the bit that I'm sort of saying, well, how Adaptivate can help you build capability so that you are more presentable to the market, shall we say, in terms of finding jobs. And that's something that, you know, we're really interested in doing. And as I said, we're interested like big time in terms of our business model, not only from what our customers are looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Doug. Let's shift gears. I'd like to shift gears to more about Doug Ross from this point. So our next question, Doug.
Where's the fast forward button?
Personally, and speaking from the heart here, I have observed your tenacity and your fighting spirit, particularly this year, Doug, right? And no doubt I can see how you've been such a great entrepreneur for a number of years, to this point, and continue to grow. Just hoping, Doug, if you can share with us, where does that drive come from in you? What are those drivers that makes a successful entrepreneur at the end of the day, which is what you have been able to achieve?
So I'll talk personally for me. I don't know whether this works for anybody else, but you need to be able to. I watched someone in about 1996 get up, and he was an entrepreneur. And at the end of his speech, he said, make sure when you get out of bed, you hit the ground running, right? And it sounded like a really sort of, kitschy sort of, I don't know if kitschy is the right word, but something that was sort of, a little bit of a strange thing to say. But I've learned over time that was a really important statement. I'll talk about that in a second. The second one I learned, and what really drives me as well, is entrepreneurship is a team sport. Once again, sort of a very kitschy sort of throwaway comment, but they're both really meaningful to me. And I think it's certainly the key to my success. So, and also the key to my failures, where I've failed in building businesses. So the first one about getting out of the ground and hitting the ground running, getting out of bed running, is really about, to me, is that you need to get out of bed passionate about what you're going to do. And from my perspective, at least, it can't be passionate about just making money, right? I know a lot of people get driven by money and all this sort of stuff, but at the end of the day, you need to be able to face into that and think, because times get tough and you don't make money. Some days you make money, some days you make money, and there's months where you don't make money, right? And so there needs to be a driver which you really believe what you're doing is purposeful to you, right? And so you hear all these people talking about it, but to me, it's as simple as what gets you out of bed in the morning that you're really passionate about doing, because that's what's going to sustain you through the hard times, which is really when you need the sustain, right? So that's the first part that I think really drives me, is I get up in the morning, I think, hey, what Adaptivate's doing is really cool. And what we're trying to, change the world in the way consulting and coaching works. We're trying to change the way that businesses transform themselves, change culture. I mean, it's all massively difficult stuff, right? And it's sort of fun to have a real go at it. So that's sort of one. You really need that drive that comes from the passion. The second bit of the drive, and this I didn't realize until after I'd been successful in one of my businesses, was it's a team sport. And and what I mean by that is I left New York after sort of a successful business that we'd started over there with another Australian friend of mine that had, got into a stage, it was really going well and growing, and it got sold. And all the people in it were happy, and it was a great business, grew really fast. And I came off the back of that, and I came back to Australia, and I started another business, fairly similar, but I started it on my own and not with others. And it's incredibly difficult, right, to do that. I know there's some amazing people out there that can, but for me, it's not even worth it, because at the end of the day, you need someone that's sort of walked with you to be able to turn around and sort of say, oh, isn't that view amazing? Or, God, this is hard. Or, I sort of, in my mind, I visualize this hike that I'm on. And there's some really ordinary parts where we're walking uphill and it just looks like forever. You just one plod after the other. It doesn't even, there's another false peak. And you sort of need to be able to laugh with someone and say, hey, are you okay? I'm okay. We're going to make this sort of thing. And then you get to a lookout part of the hike, and you look out and you just go, wow, how amazing that is. And if you're on your own looking at it, it's nowhere near as good as turning around to a couple of other people and saying, hey, how cool is that, right? We've reached it. And just that sort of metaphor in my mind is something that, two big things that drives me. If I don't have the right people around me that I really want to work with to help me fulfill part of my passion and hopefully align to their passion as well, then it's nowhere near as good. And it's really hard, because in the tough times when you're doing the plodding up the hill, and all you've got is yourself to keep pushing, you really have to turn around to that passion. And if that passion's not 100% on the money, I mean, it drives you entirely, then you have nothing else. You got no one else that's up or down at the same time you are. And so they're the two big things that drive me. The people and the people I'm doing this with and the team that we create to do this with. And then the second part is just getting me out of bed running, which is the real passion. I wake up in the morning and, I should be doing this.
Yeah, that's awesome, Doug. Entrepreneurism comes with the perception that it's a single founder, right? You know, just to echo what you're saying there, I did in my past history met up with a venture capitalist who basically almost did not look at a startup when it was only a single person. So one of his criteria was it's got to be at least two or three founders behind it, because he did not believe it was run by a single person, did not have the power to scale, basically. Which is a very similar thing, right? To the team sport aspect of it.
No, I think so. I think it's extremely difficult to be successful on your own. So, but there's some amazing people out there that can do it somehow. I don't know. I suppose.
With that comes with a lot of stresses, Doug, right? So how do you cope with the personal stress that comes with being a leader and an entrepreneur, the stress part of it?
So I'll talk about that most about the last sort of COVID period, where we've had not only the stress of the business struggling, but all the stress of sort of your own environments that everybody had to feel as well. I mean, you know, it's all first world problems, but I'm talking about that, you know, is the money going to come in at the end of the week? Is the, you know, I'm working out of my bedroom, or I'm working out of a cupboard, or, you know, all those sort of situations. Can't get to work. You know, so I suppose one thing I've really realized more and more, and once again, fairly obvious statements that sort of people talk about is, you know, a bit of exercise. So exercise has really been important to me over this period of time. Having something else to think about other than just, you know, doing a video in front of a call. The second thing that's been really important to me is actually when it was possible to actually talk to people face to face and do it in a safe way, obviously a COVID safe way, but do it in a way that I could actually think about things that, you know, in a personal way and talk to people directly without having to do it over the phone like this, because I've realized I'm very much that way inclined as well. You know, I need physical interaction, not physical human interaction, to be able to throw ideas. Ideas are something that really gets me going, right? And new ideas, problems and things like this. And you get it over the phone and you get it over this sort of thing, but you don't feel all the nonverbal communication unless you're there with the person, or you don't see it as much from my perspective. So that's where, you know, in Sydney, at least we've been lucky enough over the last couple of months. I know it's been terribly difficult down in Victoria, but, you know, in the last couple of months, I've been able to ring up clients and different people and say, hey, where's your coffee shop nearby? I'll meet you there at whatever time it is. I'll buy you a takeaway coffee and we'll walk around your neighborhood, which most people are really interested in doing, strangely, at the moment. And so there I can blend a little bit of physical interaction in a social distancing sort of manner outside while getting a little bit of exercise while we walk around, which has been great for me. So if that was your question, how have I tried to manage some of the stresses? There's been some things like that I've been trying to do you know, tries to take the mind off. But the last one, this is a little bit self-serving and once again, very much first world. But the last one is barbers. You know, I've been going to the barbershop more often than not at the moment, just one right at the moment. It's a place where I can sit there for an hour and somebody pampers me. There's no phone calls, there's no talking. The poor barber probably thinks I'm the rudest bugger around. You know, I sit there and say nothing. I actually start to start, I say, I just don't want to say anything. If that's okay, can you just cut my hair? I close my eyes, I go to another world, and that's what it's in. So there's a few strategies that I've created to try and manage through this period.
It is rare. Thanks for sharing with to us with that, Doug. It is rare, isn't it, that complete silence and a switch off, the pure time to switch off. And each to their own, Doug. I don't think my barber would allow me to do that at all, mate.
Well, if you turn up every 3 to 4 weeks like I do, Shawnee, may he or she.
Final question, Doug. What is next for Doug Ross? For all that you have achieved and all that you have gone through, Doug, what is next for you?
So Adaptivate is, I would say, the engine room for firms, for companies large and small, to be able to drive real change, to be successful in the market in periods of disruption. That's what Adaptivate is all about, and Tribe's the extension of that, if that makes sense, the sustainability part of it. The next thing for me is how do we ramp up the firms that we, you know, attach ourselves to? And so this is where, you know, I see Adaptivate attaching itself not only to clients in terms of, you know, direct to, you know, large and small clients, but to private equity firms, venture capital firms, to actually turn around, and where they're in a space where, you know, they're not generating as much growth, or the culture is not quite right, or they're struggling with the changes in the marketplace because, you know, as product life cycles shrink, even startups struggle with the ability to change their product fast enough to actually in the right direction. Sorry. You can change a product, yes. Anybody can pivot, but how do you change it in such a way that you change it to what the market actually needs, or testing in the market continuously to make sure that you're moving along with the market? So we've had successes in that space as well. And providing somewhat of a, not the right word, but probably an insurance package for some of those private equity or venture capital firms, I think it'd be something that's really quite fun for us as a firm and for Doug Ross to be part of as well. And, you know, look, I'm already on the investment committee for a venture capital firm called Future Now Capital, which is, you know, a little bit different in the marketplace in terms of what most venture capital and private equity is as well, because they spend a lot of time looking at how to help the firm, not just provide it money, which, you know, every venture capital or private equity firm will tell you that's what they do, but I know this one actually does. And so, you know, we might be helping them as well in some of their work, and then continuing on from that, you know, being that as part of what we're actually trying to do globally for either sort of larger venture capital firms or private equity as well. So I think that'd be fun. That'd be really getting into sort of the edgier world of, you know, really changing both big and small companies to help with the business models that are disrupting the world, not just helping any firm disrupt the world. So, or
absolutely
disruption, actually being on the end of actually providing the disruption in the marketplace as well. So I don't know, I sort of got there in a roundabout way, but hopefully that makes sense in terms of.
No, that makes perfect sense. It does make perfect sense, Doug. Look, surfing, sitting on the beach, that sounds pretty good too, though, right?
I worked out quite a few years ago that I even if I do, you know, like I'm a member of a golf course and I quite like surfing and, you know, I love spending time with my family, but I can't sleep unless there's something ticking over in my brain in terms of a business. So I don't actually see I'll ever stop working. So regardless of whether I can be financially independent or not, it's just the way I'm tuned. So there you go.
No, absolutely. Living the passion point that you gave us earlier, Doug. Doug, thank you very much for your time. Tribe has only really just started. I'm having a lot of fun doing it. Love the collaboration and the support that you're giving us, to myself and the community. So thank you very much, and look forward to what's next for us, Doug.
Absolutely, Sean. It's as you say, really want to see what we can do with Tribe and just take it to new levels all the time. So appreciate the efforts, mate. It's been fantastic so far, and I got all the faith in the world it's going to be fantastic and even better going forward. So good luck. Good luck to everybody in Tribe, and let's see what we can do.
Awesome. Thank you.